It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it, throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
Farouk Benesh, a three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter, and that's some
Colbert.
Good afternoon, everybody. Happy Friday. Hope the day's treating you well. Hope you have an outstanding weekend. Another great weekend of football lies ahead. I've seen some folks out there talking some smack about, oh, the week three of college football, it's a weak slate. You get 12 of these Saturdays, or 12 games a year, if you're a fan of an FBS team. You get 11 more times than not if you're a fan of an FCS team. So I don't want to hear it. Like, it's a you problem if you're at all not pumped up about another weekend of football. It's week four of the high school football season, week three of the college football season, and week two of the NFL season. And we heard week two of the NFL season kick off last night as the Philadelphia Eagles got the best of the Minnesota Vikings. I was shocked that game ended up being as close as it was. The Vikings just could not get out of their own way, particularly in the first quarter of that one. But, I mean, Justin Jefferson just continues to be an absolute beast. It's really something how the Vikings traded Stephon Diggs to Buffalo, got that first-round pick, turned right around and drafted Justin Jefferson. You could not have scripted that any better, and I take no pleasure in saying it as a Bears fan, but my goodness, that guy is just outstanding. Nonetheless, the Eagles, not at their best, but that's why the Eagles are great, because even when they're not operating at all cylinders, they still find a way to win, and they ran the hell out of the ball last night. And anybody who knows anything about football, that's a great recipe to win any football game anywhere if you can get your ground game going and have it be a difference maker. So it was great to hear our good friends and partners from Westwood One do an outstanding job with that broadcast last night, like always. And, we continue on here. A Football Friday edition of Cole & Company. It is September 15, 2023. However you are tuned in, whether it's on 1650 AM, 102.3 FM on our mobile app on your smart speaker or streaming online at 1650thefan.com. Thanks so much for being here. Make sure you follow us on X, formerly known as Twitter, at 1650KCNZ. I'm on Twitter, on X, at RealColeBear. And if you're on Facebook, type in 1650TheFan. You'll find us there on the Zuck Machine. And hammer that like button, and you'll get more local and statewide sports content into your Facebook feed. What's not to like? Make sure you bookmark the website, 1650thefan.com. That's where all of our local and statewide sports content finds itself before it makes its way onto our social media pages. Also, you can get audio on demand there. You can get the podcast of this show, the Coach's Huddle podcast, all sorts of content. Make it a regular stop for yourself on the World Wide Web, 1650thefan.com. The number to dial, make sure you got it saved in your phone if you're ever inclined to join in with any questions or comments for the program, 319-277-1918, 319-277-1918, or 800-913-9479, or you could email the show. Perhaps you'd prefer that, by all means. Fire away. Don't be shy. Questions or comments. Maybe there's someone or something you'd like to hear from or about on a future show. let me know. Just know I may read your email on the program. Email address is Cole, C-O-L-E, at 1650thefan.com. All right, here is what is on the agenda today. We'll get to area sports news and scores to lead it off, as always, here in just a few short moments. After we do that, we'll take timeout number one. We'll get you a national sports update, a VSiN action update from the guys in Vegas, as another, like I said, great weekend of football lies ahead here. We'll also get you a forecast for the rest of this Friday. We've gotten a little precipitation here this afternoon, and it sounds like more precip on the way tomorrow, and makes you wonder how much of a factor, if at all, that might be down highway or Interstate 380, I should say, in Iowa City, as the Iowa Hawkeyes will play host to the to Western Michigan tomorrow, a 2:40 kick for the Hawks. So perhaps that's something to keep in mind here as we look toward tomorrow's slate of college football games. But we'll get that forecast from Megan Mulford, and we'll come back in the next segment, and our friend, my colleague, Rob Gray from the Cedar Rapids Gazette will join the show, and like always, he will give us the breakdown, the big preview of Iowa State football's road game at Ohio tomorrow. Of course, you'll hear that game right here on your official station for Cyclone Nation, 1650 The Fan. Pre-game coverage begins at 9 tomorrow morning, so coffee and Cyclones with kickoff at 11 a.m. It's just a great sports calendar this weekend, quite frankly, here on The Fan, if I can say so myself. Of course, tonight you'll get the Cedar Falls football game over on Cruisin'. More details on that in a moment. You've got game one of a three-game Cubs series coming up tonight here on The Fan. Cubs, man, they've dropped a couple games here in this wild card race, and they're right back at it playing Arizona, one of the teams contending for that same spot that they are. But the Cubs right now, if the season ended today, would be in the playoffs. It's going to be an 8:05 pregame tonight for the Cubs against the Diamondbacks in Arizona. First pitch at 8:40, and the ace, the potential National League Cy Young, Justin Steele, on the bump tonight for the Cubs. Meanwhile, tomorrow, as I mentioned, Iowa State football kicks off at 11, pregame at 9, and then you'll get Cubs in the evening, game two of that three-game set. That's a 6:35 pregame tomorrow night, and then the Cubs on Sunday Night Baseball, and you'll get the NFL earlier in the day on Sunday, as we will have the Kansas City Chiefs at the Jacksonville Jaguars, an 11:30 pregame and a noon kick there. So just another reason to make sure you got the website, 1650thefan.com, bookmarked, because you can go to the on-air tab on the homepage, and you'll see the drop-down menu and the broadcast calendar, and that's where you can find out the when and where of all of our live sports broadcasts here on The Fan. Okay, as I mentioned, Rob Gray in the next segment will break it all down, Iowa State at Ohio. Something interesting with this matchup, because if you just take a quick peek at it, you go, okay, Iowa State is on the road at a MAC team. They ought to win this game, right? Like, this shouldn't be too much trouble. It looks like 2-1 is on the horizon. And as I've already began to talk a little bit on this show, because I find it compelling, I do think Iowa State is right there in terms of will they or won't they reach 6 wins this season. I'd be happy to be proven wrong and Coach Campbell and the Clones run to 8 or 9 wins. That'd be outstanding, of course. But I genuinely feel like they're going to be right there. They're going to be in that 4 to 7 win pocket is where I see them. And this is a game they absolutely have to have, I would say, if they want to be able to have a realistic path to 6 wins and bowl eligibility. And there's this young man, or I guess I shouldn't say young man. He's one of the what I've heard people call Sixers, and that is these COVID seniors, right? The student-athletes that were in school at the time of the pandemic, and 2020 didn't count as a year of used eligibility as a result of just how crazy everything played out that academic and athletic year. And then a lot of those student-athletes, as you can understand, had also already redshirted, or maybe some of them in some circumstances did afterwards. So you end up with 6 years in college. And this quarterback for Ohio, Curtis Rourke, the 2022 MAC Offensive Player of the Year, he is one of those quote-unquote Sixers. And I think this young man's right arm is a big reason why you cannot write it down in Sharpie that the Cyclones will go on the road and win at Ohio tomorrow. So I'm looking forward for a number of reasons, but that one especially, to talk about that Ohio quarterback, Curtis Rourke, when Rob Gray, my colleague from the Cedar Rapids Gazette, joins us in the next segment of today's show. After we're done breaking down Iowa State at Ohio, we'll take the timeout near the bottom of the hour, get your Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim. Come back on the other side of that break, and like usual on a football Friday, we'll be joined in the third segment by Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast. You follow him on Twitter at Logan_Blackman. We'll talk a little bit about Iowa, Western Michigan, you and I at Idaho State, Iowa State, Ohio. We'll get Logan's reaction to week one of the NFL, mine as well. We'll look ahead to, you know, what intrigues us about week two of the NFL. And we'll also make sure to give you our picks of the weekend. I've got three of them, like usual, all college football games. So Logan will bring his. I'll have mine. If you do, like Jim Rome says when he does big head bets, if you don't think we're any good, fade us. That might be your best strategy. But I've got three games I like. So that, among other things, we will get to when Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast joins us today on the show. After we're done there, we'll take the final timeout, get you an NFL Network update. Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary. Then come back for a final time on a Friday, final time for the week, and wrap up the show. So that is the plan, boys and girls. Let's go ahead and dive in here. Area sports news and scores for your Friday. The Cedar Falls boys and girls cross-country teams hosted the Rich Engel Classic yesterday, and 4A top-ranked Cedar Falls on the boys' side won the meet with 64 points. Cedar Rapids Kennedy was second with 69. Cedar Falls sophomore Jaden Merrick was the individual champion with a time of 15 minutes, 46.8 seconds. In the girls' competition, Dubuque Senior took first place with 48 points, just edging runner-up Dubuque Hempstead. Dubuque Hempstead with 50 points. Cedar Falls finished third. Individually in the girls' competition, Waterloo West's Nakia Olivier placed second. Week four of the high school football season kicks off in earnest tonight, and in the Metro, Waterloo West hosts Davenport North. It's the Wahawks' annual homecoming game. West is seeking its third win in four games. Meanwhile, Waterloo East is seeking its third straight win, playing at Fort Dodge tonight. It's going to be the first road game of the year for DeCarlos Anderson's Trojans. Waterloo Columbus Catholic opens up Class 1A District 4 competition at Hudson. The 2-1 Sailors play a Pirates team that is off to a hot 3-0 start. And, of course, at the Unidome, Cedar Falls plays host to Iowa City Liberty. It's the Tigers' annual homecoming game. Cedar Falls looking to bounce back after a lopsided loss at Ankeny Centennial last week. You can hear all the coverage of the Tigers tonight on Cruising KCFI. Pregame show begins around 7 with Dave Finnegan. Kickoff at 7:30. In another Metro football game for this weekend, due to limited officials, the Waterloo Christian football team is going to play tomorrow night at Green Mountain Garwin. The Regents 0-3 in their inaugural season, playing in Class 8 player. Kickoff tomorrow night is at 6. Tonight in area-ranked high school football games, Class 1A top-ranked Grundy Center at East Marshall. A couple other 1A-ranked area teams, 5th-ranked Denver on the road at Central Springs, 6th-ranked Sumner Fredericksburg playing host to Dyke New Hartford. In Class A, 8th-ranked Nashua Plainfield is at AGWSR. And finally, an 8-player, top-ranked Gladbrook Rhinebeck plays at Dunkerton, 7th-ranked Don Bosco at home against 10th-ranked Lansing Key. The Iowa Girls High School Athletic Union has released its weekly volleyball rankings among area teams in the poll. In 5A, Cedar Falls stays at number 6. Union is up a spot in 3A to number 4. In 2A, Dyke New Hartford remains top-ranked. Grundy Center is 3rd. Sumner Fredericksburg 4th. Denver is 5th. Wapsie Valley 11th. And Applington Parkersburg is 15th. Finally, in Class 1A, Don Bosco up a spot to number 9. And Gladbrook Rhinebeck down 3 spots to 15th. Day 1 of the UNI volleyball tournament, their invitational, took place last night at McLeod Center. The Panthers opened play, defeating North Dakota in 3 sets. UNI now 5-5 this season. The Panthers continued action with their UNI tournament tonight, taking on 25th-ranked Dayton at 7. Pregame coverage begins at 6:45 on 106.5 Corn Country. Busy day of college football tomorrow. Iowa State finishes up its non-conference schedule with a road game at Ohio. First road game of the season for the Cyclones. 1-1 this season, Iowa State is. Listen to that game here on The Fan. Pregame at 9 tomorrow morning, kickoff at 11. Also, number 25, Iowa, playing host to Western Michigan at Kinnick Stadium, kickoff at 2:40. And you and I looking for its first win at Idaho State with a victory. Panthers coach Mark Farley will pick up his 175th career win, kickoff at 5 tomorrow. You can hear that game on 93.5 The Mix, pregame at 4. And finally, Division III third-ranked Wartburg opens up American Rivers Conference play, hosting Buena Vista. The Knights have won their last 20 home games. Kickoff is at 1. All right, let's take this time out. We'll get you a national sports update, a VSiN action update, and a forecast for the rest of this Friday, looking into tomorrow and Sunday. We'll come back on the other side. We'll break it all down. Iowa State at Ohio. Rob Gray of the Cedar Rapids Gazette joins us next right here on The Fan.
Now, your national sports update on The Fan.
From the Fox Sports studios in Los Angeles, here's Isaac Lowenkron.
Today, Aaron Rodgers spoke for the first time since suffering his season-ending torn Achilles with the Pat McAfee Show and discussed his recovery.
Give me the timetables. Give me all the things that you think can, should, or will happen, because all I need is that one little extra percent of inspiration. That's all I need. So give me your doubts, give me your prognostications, and then watch what I do.
The Los Angeles Chargers listed running back Austin Eckler as doubtful for Sunday's game at Tennessee because of an ankle injury. The Houston Texans listed quarterback C.J. Stroud as questionable for Sunday's game against the Indianapolis Colts because of a shoulder injury. Washington pass rusher Chase Young will make his season debut this Sunday for their game at Denver.
For local, state, and national sports news and podcasts, log on to 1650thefan.com, the online home of 1650 The Fan.
In need of an ice-cold drink? How about a plate of great food early in the day or late at night? You want to watch the UNI football or basketball game? Or maybe the Cubs game? And don't have the streaming service you need at home? These first-world problems are just some of the many things Cooper's Tap Room at the bottom of College Hill in Cedar Falls can solve. So come see us soon. Find out more at cooperstaproom.com or by following on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, or Twitter.
Hot tubs, saunas, pools, chemicals, parts, grills, pellets, seasonings are all available locally at Tubs R Us. I'm Mike with Tubs R Us. We've been serving the Cedar Valley since 1994 with reputable service and quality products like QCA spas. Stop into our showroom to explore ways to turn your home into an oasis with a new spa, sauna, pool, or smoker grill. Whether you want quality time with your loved ones, to simply relax, or to entertain friends, we're here for you. We are Tubs R Us on the corner of Falls and Ainsboro, Waterloo.
Tommy's Express Car Wash in Waterloo offers you a car washing experience like no other. Download the Tommy Club app today, sign up as a member, and get the first 30 days free. You'll enjoy quick, affordable, and endless washes at any Tommy's location. Plus, skip the line. Free mat washes and vacuums. Tommy's Express Car Wash. Fast, friendly, and convenient. Find Tommy's online, on Facebook, or in person on University Avenue in Waterloo. Tommy's Express Car Wash. It's your time to shine.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Cloudy tonight with a slight chance for scattered showers. Lows dip down to about 55. Winds out of the west, 5 to 10 miles an hour. Slight chance for scattered storms tomorrow. Highs level off around 76. Tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 50. Sunny skies and calm Sunday with daytime highs approaching 74. 77 Monday. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, it's 70.
Cole & Company, afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM and on the 1650 The Fan mobile app and streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
Yeah, welcome back. Football Friday edition of the show continues. I am your host, Cole Bear. The Iowa State Cyclones looking to improve to 2-1 tomorrow. with an 11 a.m. kickoff in Ohio to take on the Bobcats of the MAC. And the MAC-tion, we'll see how it goes, because as I was telling you all in the opening segment, you look at this game and you don't really dig into it. You go, Iowa State, you know, not what it was maybe 2 or 3 years ago, but they should be able to win at Ohio, right? Well, here's the thing. 2022 MAC Offensive Player of the Year quarterback Curtis Rourke plays for the Bobcats. So looking forward to talking about that and getting Rob Gray, my colleague at the Cedar Rapids Gazette, his thoughts on last Saturday's Cy-Hawk game. The Clones coming up short 20-13 in that one. Rob joins us now. Follow him on X at Rob W. Gray. Rob, thanks for being here. How are you?
I'm doing okay, Cole. How are you?
I'm doing all right. As it relates to last Saturday's Cy-Hawk game, Rob, went back and watched the condensed version of the game on YouTube afterwards. It's great to be able to do that now. I do got to give a shout-out to whoever. There's like a number of accounts on YouTube. I don't know who the people are, but shout-out to those people that put those condensed games together because I was, you know, shortly after kick headed to the Unidome. Nonetheless, Iowa State comes up short, makes a little bit of a comeback there toward the end of that game. As we sit here now almost a week later, looking back, what's still front of mind for you, good, bad, or indifferent, on the Cyclones coming up short against the Hawks?
Yeah, the main thing is just how it was just such an extension of how they've lost close games in the last 1.5 years, more or less. You know, the pick six, you know, Rocco Beck, you know, stand-up guy to say that's the difference. You know, there are a lot of other little things that happen. I think the missed field goal in the beginning after driving 15 plays, 57 yards, blocked, but also kicked fairly low and not blocked very well up front, kind of set the tone for the game, much like the previous week against UNI, Jeremiah Cooper set the tone with the pick six for Iowa State. And, you know, Iowa drives down nice to get the field goal, to get the big run. Otherwise, they couldn't run all day. You get the touchdown to go up 2 scores, and from then on, you know, you end up getting the pick six. And I guess the positive thing for Iowa State is they came back from whatever 20-3 to make it a game and have a chance with the minute 45-ish left in the game. I think the positive for them is with a lot of young players, most of the game they executed pretty well.
Yeah,
I mean they moved the ball okay against a very stout Iowa defense. Iowa didn't move the ball at all outside of a couple of big plays, and you can't take those big plays away, and that's the script for the Cy-Hawk game, and 7 of the last 8. Iowa makes the big plays when needed. Iowa State doesn't, and that's my biggest takeaway from that game, to be honest.
Rob, when it comes to Rocco Beck, to dig in on him a little bit, obviously he kind of, you know, he definitely got more leash to be able to be the reason why Iowa State could have won this game. We didn't see the talented true freshman J.J. Cole in this game. So what do you make of the circumstances at quarterback, and what might we know, or at least maybe think we know, with Rocco through 2 games as opposed to when we talked last week?
Yeah, I think the fact that Rocco threw that pick six made any, you know, because both Coach Campbell and offensive coordinator Nate Shellhouse made it pretty clear that they expected to use Cole at least a little bit in the game. I wonder if you know, what message do they send if Rocco Beck is immediately replaced by J.J. Cole after pick six? The game's starting to get out of hand. You know, when Campbell comes in after the game and say, this is the best we've played in this game since I've been here, I can see his point in some ways.
Sure.
Because the mistakes weren't a multitude. They were just high profile at the time, and sure, they didn't fit a run play really well, but otherwise executed pretty well against an Iowa team that, you know, up front on the offensive side, they didn't know what they got, and they sure did well against the Cyclones, especially early on before John Haycock started dialing up some pressure. I think he thought he could get it done with 3, and to some extent against Iowa, and I think that hurt Iowa State early on, but long-winded tangent there, but Rocco, I think, is clearly the guy. I think that 1 year, full one season of the program under his belt, ahead of Cole and Early and Rolly, who got winter conditioning spring and summer and fall. You don't throw him into that game either in those circumstances. So what are you doing to a true freshman, a talented true freshman, as you noted?
Yeah.
To put him in that situation. So I'm not sure that we won't see him some moving forward, and I still think they might have some packages for Tanner Hughes if the situations are right. But Rocco's clearly the guy, and he's efficient. He's not, you know, outside of the pick six, I think he's really, really methodically moved the offense, which is what is asked of him. So he's developing. Now the matter, the run game took a step back. I mean, if the run game can't continue to come forward, then you know, that's going to be hard on Rocco or anybody who's have in there.
Yeah, you make a good point there with the run game, Mike. Rocco's development will certainly be accelerated if that run game can be more effective than it was against Iowa, albeit, I mean, anybody in this state knows well enough, Iowa's consistently had one of the better run defenses in the country. All that being said, I guess just quickly, Rob, to kind of just make a point here on the quarterback dynamic with Iowa State, you get the impression at all that it would never necessarily be acknowledged, but that there's kind of a slow play here with J.J. Cole, where you play him in four games, play him in like four of the first seven games, and then it's, yeah, we've reached a mutual decision with J.J. that we're going to give him his red shirt now.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, it would sure seem like it would be highly beneficial to both J.J. and to Iowa State to play up to the four games allowed and have that red shirt, you know. That puts Rocco into being a sophomore next season. You know, J.J. obviously pushed him well enough that there was very little separation coming out of fall camp, so there's no reason he couldn't go and win that job as a redshirt freshman, too.
Right.
You know what I'm saying. So, I mean, it buys that extra year, buys that extra development, and, you know, obviously Rocco's got to keep playing at least reasonably well or you find a plan B. But ideal scenario for Iowa State, I think, would be the case there because, again, it's tough to come in this in any league, but in one of the best, in one of the four or five best leagues, three or four best leagues in the country, to perform at a high level against those usually older defenses. So,
yeah,
good point. And I think, again, ideal situation would be something like that happening.
Rob Gray, Cedar Rapids Gazette, our guest right now on this Football Friday edition of Cole & Company. Follow him on X at Rob W. Gray. Rob, last week when we spoke, we were wondering, and we wondered about this when we chatted at the press box in Ames when you and I was there. Okay, the Iowa State special teams looking great. And then, you know, albeit still air, but looked really good for the most part in the Cy-Hawk game last Saturday. I would say that perhaps not exactly the same, but when it comes to going on the road and playing a MAC team, that if you're an Iowa State fan, it'd be fair to have the run game under a magnifying glass tomorrow and go, okay, it wasn't great last season, and it hasn't been outstanding so far. We saw some flashes against UNI, but we need to see a good performance against Ohio, otherwise, you know, we might be breathing into the brown bag again about what we might not have in terms of a run game.
Yeah, and I mean, that all comes to the offensive line. Cartavius Norton and Abu Sama, he's had some electric runs as a true freshman in his first couple of games. Those guys are capable of rushing for 100 yards any game, as long as there's good blocking. And I wouldn't say that it's been bad blocking, but I think, especially falling behind two scores against Iowa, really, really hamstrings you in the run game.
Yeah.
And they did continue to run it quite a bit, more than maybe some fans like, you know, not always seeming to have that quote-unquote sense of urgency. But as Coach Campbell said after the game, hey, especially on the one touchdown drive they did put together where Rocco hit up in third and longs, had a couple good runs on that one that got it to 20-13 and gave him a chance to get the ball back with the three and out, which the defense gave them. It just, you know, again, relatively speaking, Iowa, as you said, one of the best run defenses consistently for several years. And Iowa State had a good game against them, beating them in Iowa City a year ago. But it was like 128 yards. Well, they had 80-some. I mean, which is a pretty big drop-off, but not as big as you would think. So, yeah, you got to be able to push around a MAC offense, MAC defensive line. And we've heard about how Coach Clanton preaches violence and versatility. I think we've seen at times them get a lot of push. They've been really good at protecting the quarterback, and those facts yet through two games. But they've got to make a statement in this game. And if they do, the Vegas line will blow up in the face of anyone who bought into it, and Iowa State will win comfortably. But only if. I think if they can't run the ball, at least somewhat effectively, it's going to be a nip and tuck game.
Shame on me. I can't believe I didn't look it up. What is the spread on this game tomorrow, Rob?
It opened to something like a Cyclones favored by 1.5. And
wow.
It the last I saw, maybe it had gotten to 3, 3.5.
Okay.
Well,
that...
So that means... yeah.
That makes me think, Rob, about the 2022 MAC Offensive Player of the Year in Ohio quarterback Curtis Rourke. And I'm not saying that Ohio doesn't have other talented players, but as I said at the top of the show and mentioned in bringing you on, in a matchup like this one, you're kind of looking for that guy, I think, like a Theo Day, who obviously, you know, he just didn't have a good game against Iowa State, but nonetheless, somebody you can point to and go, that's a guy who can transcend this matchup, where on paper the Big 12 team should beat the MAC team. But Curtis Rourke had an outstanding year a season ago, evidenced by being the conference's player of the year. So that's, to me, headlining this matchup as far as if you're an Iowa State fan digging into it. I mean, what can you tell us about what John Haycock's defense is going to be up against? And thankfully, if you're a Cyclones fan, you do have that secondary to hang your hat on, but you're going up against another great signal caller.
Yeah, and even last year, probably Curtis Rourke's worst game was in Ames. I think he had 5 interceptions all season. He had 2 in that game. He had some nice throws. He had a touchdown pass. They got an interesting group. They got some good skill guys at both receiver and running back. I think they got a couple of good tight ends. Now, how good can they be up front? I mean, it's a very veteran team, especially compared to Iowa State. And I still am pretty bullish on that Iowa State defensive line, even though they did not record a sack against Iowa last week. I think Bo Freeler got in for one at some point.
Yep.
Later in the game on a blitz. Don Morton still looks good. Tyler Unneedham still looks good. They need a little bit more to see a little bit more from the edge guys, I think, and the linebackers are coming along. Really hurt not having Gary Vaughn in that game. I mean, the most veteran linebacker they have. Very, very productive player. They hope to have him back this week, but that allowed Jacob Ellis, highly touted. He was a co-defensive player of the year in junior college or defensive player of the year, come in and start his first game and get valuable experience. So I think the defense will be able to get to Rourke. It's going to be about how early and how often Coach Haycock dials up pressure. And obviously sometimes down distance, all that stuff will dictate that, but if they can bottle up the running game, they got a good running back. He's not like a push the pile type of guy. If you can make sure that Ohio can't operate very well in the run game, then I think you can really get to Rourke, a guy who's, you know, injury really hurt them last season going into the MAC championship game. He'd been great, but I think he had a hamstring injury. This year they thought they maybe lost him for a long time in the opener against San Diego State. Comes back at Florida Atlantic last week, leads them to 17 unanswered points after failing 10-0 to win that game against Tom Herman's Owls. So, really good player. I'm not sure that O-line is going to be able to withstand Iowa State's front 7 and that back end of which you spoke, whether they're in coverage or whether they're being sent in on blitz packages.
It seems like we'll be able to hopefully maybe have some more serious conclusions about what this Iowa State team is or isn't after tomorrow's game, Rob. Thanks so much for your time today. Always great to talk to you and have you on the show. Have a great weekend. We'll be following your coverage at thegazette.com.
Yep, always great to talk to you, Cole. Take care, my man.
Rob Gray, kind enough to join us on a Football Friday edition of Cole & Company. Follow him on X at Rob W. Gray. All right, let's take this time out. Radio Iowa Sports coming up. Little tech issue. We'll get you the VEASAN action update with Brent Musburger and the guys in this timeout. We'll come back on the other side. And Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast will join us. We will talk NFL Week 2, recap Week 1, talk, of course, you and I, Iowa and Iowa State, and make our picks of the weekend. That's all next right here on The Fan.
This Radio Iowa Sports Report is brought to you by Your Life Iowa. Free support 24/7 at yourlifeiowa.org.
Good afternoon. I'm Todd Kim. Final non-conference tune-ups for the Hawkeyes and Cyclones. 25th-ranked Iowa takes a 2-0 record into a home game against Western Michigan. The Broncos are 2-1 against Kirk Ferentz coached Iowa teams. Iowa State is 1-1 and heads out on the road to take on Ohio. The Bobcats are the favorites in the Mid-America Conference race. They're 2-1, and senior quarterback Curtis Rourke leads the Bobcat offense.
Tough attitude, effort, understands how you win football games. I think how their kids play. I mean, man, they run to the football on defense. They're physical up front on offense. And then they got a great quarterback. It'll be the best quarterback we've played against so far this football season, and one of the best quarterbacks we've seen in a long time. He's tough.
That's Cyclone coach Matt Campbell. You and I is on the road to take on Idaho State. This is Radio Iowa.
Okay, Max is out with his friends. He's had a few drinks, and now he's ready to go home. Does he A, risk getting pulled over and hurting himself and someone else by getting behind the wheel? Or B, get someone to drive him? Let's watch. It looks like Max is taking out his phone. He's finding his rideshare app. He's getting a ride. Way to go, Max. Way to go. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by the Iowa Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau.
Hi, it's your friend social media. You know, where friends and creators seem so cool. But don't fall for my quick cuts. We all have struggles and challenges, like with alcohol or drug use or our mental health. Talking about these struggles is a sign of strength. Your Life Iowa can talk to you about treatment or resources. Get free 24/7 confidential support. Call, text, or chat online at yourlifeiowa.org. A message from Iowa HHS.
As school begins, the Cedar Falls School District would like to thank grandparents, friends, and extended families for all you do to support their mission. Your sons, daughters, nieces, nephews, and grandchildren continue to inspire the community by their upbeat, resilient responses to the changes that have come their way. The Cedar Falls School's mission of excellence is embodied in their desire for continuous improvement and their goals to maximize the abilities of all students in a supportive, collaborative environment. Educating your youth is an honor and a task they take very seriously. In a time wrought with change and uncertainty, what will remain constant is the Cedar Falls School's dedication to our youth. Our future is in their hands. Always remember, their first priority is the safety of students, staff, teachers, administrators, and the community at large. Cedar Falls students, have a great year. Go Tigers!
Cedar Falls Schools, every student, every day.
First Bank is one of the few remaining community banks in this area, and our vision really matches up with endowments, foundations like the Cedar Falls Schools Foundation.
And there's nothing more community than the local public school district.
It's always been very important for our board of directors to support locally whenever we can. That extends to who we have handling our investments.
We want to be a partner to them. We want to help them be successful, and we really want them to grow.
First Bank, serving you first.
This is Brian Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
Unlike other credit cards that decline sports betting transactions, the GBank Visa Signature Card can load directly to your favorite sportsbook apps. G.bank/VSiN.
Cubs ace Justin Steele on the mound today for Chicago at Chase Field in Phoenix against the Arizona Diamondbacks. Steele 16-3 at 2.49 ERA. He's an Auburn 35 road favorite against Brandon Fott, 1-8, 6.25 ERA. Arizona plus 125, 8.5 over the total. Iowa Hawkeyes, a 28.5 point favorite at home against Western Michigan at Kinnick Stadium, where the total's 42.5. Iowa State laying 3 at Ohio, total 44 at Peden Stadium in Athens, Ohio. Bears are a 2.5 point road dog Sunday at the Buccaneers. Chiefs laying 3.5 at the Jacksonville Jaguars. Mike Sennett, 1650 The Fan.
You're listening to Cole and Company with Colbert. Afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
Yeah, welcome back to a Football Friday edition of Cole and Company. And typically, You know, that rejoiner right there with the music from CBS for the NFL really gets me going. But I think I may be able to speak not only for, of course, myself, but Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast, who joins us now, that it's just not quite hitting the same, given what happened to our teams in week one, Logan.
Yeah, the feelings you have after a loss, when you're expecting like a lot this season, like the Bills obviously are going to be talked about as one of the better teams in the league, and the Bears are like, oh, this is the year. They're going to have a vastly improved team. They're going to take away. They're going to ruin Jordan Love's second career start, first time as a guaranteed starter, and then neither one of our teams really performed to what our expectations were like. And just hearing that, like before we came on, like the Bears are the underdog against the Buccaneers. I didn't think I really thought that going into the season, but you know, things change after week one, I guess.
Yeah, and I'll say this quick, and I'm not trying to pile on. When I was watching your Bills on Monday night, okay, fine, yeah, the punt return, that was crazy. But as it relates to, I think, the most important thing, which is Josh Allen's play and the fact that he seems to be in a little bit of a funk, it came off to me like he was a more athletic version of Jay Cutler, where his supreme arm talent, and then combine that like Cutler didn't necessarily have with what he can do with his legs. It's just like, hey, Josh Allen, because you can sometimes do this and pull this stuff off, like you're doing it too much. Like you've definitely fallen into somehow some bad habits here. And just getting yourself off schedule too frequently, and who knows what the magic elixir is to kind of get him back like on program or on schedule. But, I mean, do you think that's an unfair like estimation of what I saw of Josh?
No, yeah, I think the main thing I would say with him is that he's trying to do too much. He's trying to play hero ball, which rarely works at any level of football, let alone the NFL. Like, the only time you can really see that working is like in Pee Wee football or something like that. Like you don't really see it working, and it just gave me the vibes of the first interception where he rolled out to the left, could have picked up a first down with his legs and launched it to Deontay Hardy into double coverage.
Yeah,
it's like reminded me of that Brett Favre throw against when the Vikings and Saints played. You hear Paul Allen just yell, "You could just take a knee,
yeah,
and take a 62-yard field goal." That's kind of what I was feeling at that, because it was like a 3rd and 8 or something, and then Josh as the player where he tries to jump, not even hurdle, just like jump over, like Space Jam, Michael Jordan-esque Space Jam, jump over defenders to try to get a first down.
Yeah.
And maybe more, I don't know what was going on in his mind there, but yeah, all three picks in double coverage, the fumble hitting him right in the face mask didn't really sit too well with me either. Like, it was just an odd game. And when a game when Zach Wilson's coming in and they're not throwing the ball. They're living in 13 personnel, yep, yep. Three tight ends and a back. They're just living in that. Breece Hall's eating up 20 yards a carry. It's like, they're not wanting to win the game. Like they're like, hey, we're going to fold. We're just going to run the ball. If we get points, we get points. And the Bills just like, you know what? Here's the ball. You can have it here. Like,
it
was just insanely frustrating to watch, and I hope it's – well, I would expect it to rectify against the Raiders, who are – no offense to the Raiders, but they are a little bit worse of a team than the New York Jets, especially on the defensive side.
Yeah, they barely beat the Broncos. You'd like to think if, you know, the Bills and Josh Allen could get out of their way a little bit, they'll be able to win that game. A couple of my other biggest takeaways from week one of the NFL, well, I guess maybe even including week two, you go to last night's game with the Eagles and Vikings. I thought it was impressive that the Eagles obviously didn't have their best stuff, and they still found a way to win that game. They ran the hell out of the ball. They got a first-year offensive coordinator, so I think it'll take time to get that pass game humming again, but they sure look legit. I thought San Francisco looked very legit in a 30-7 win over Pittsburgh. And I'm not sure there's any amount of pharmaceuticals in the world that can take care of what I had to endure with my Bears getting rocked by Green Bay at Soldier Field 38-20.
Yeah, that Bears game was just I don't know. What did they say? He had Justin Fields had 3 passes travel over 10 yards in that game, or something, like have 10 yards of airtime or something.
He's
like,
got to push the ball down the field.
Yeah, it was the only thing you could really, like, Roshon Johnson looked all right in the 4 running backs that you have there.
Yeah.
He looked pretty solid, which
in
was
mop-up
what we kind
time.
Of expected.
In mop-up time. I don't want to get too bogged into the or two into the NFL, I want to make sure we talk about you and I, Iowa State and Iowa. And in the way that I talked about, or the analogy or comparison I made with Josh Allen and Jay Cutler, I feel like maybe Theo Day's fallen victim to something like that a little bit in these first two games, where it's like he's keeping his eyes downfield, which is great. Like, that's never a bad thing, right? But I actually feel like it's almost been to a fault, and that's been part of the reason why he suffered 10 sacks, thrown 5 interceptions through two games. And I wrote in my game preview for the Panthers game at Idaho State tomorrow night, Logan, that like less Theo could be more Theo, where let's throw some quick game, like as an extension of a run game that's not great yet. Let's also just be a little more stubborn and just run the ball more. Do you agree? Maybe a little less Theo could be more?
Oh, yeah, especially in this game. Like, they put last week, Idaho State played Utah State. I was actually looking at this last night. Played Utah State week one. They had, like, 380 yards on the ground or something like that. Like, they gave a ton of yards running. So this could be a good game for Ty Edwards to really get, you know, really get loose in this offense. But Theo, that game last week was just weird, because it was one of the drives later in the game. I don't remember what quarter it was exactly. But he throws the pick, return back for a touchdown, and then they call the penalty. They go back down the field again, and then he throws another pick. So it was like the pick, we just took away the touchdown, but they still got the pick anyways. Like, it was just he just doesn't look insanely comfortable at this point in time. But that's, you know, the nuanced line, that's going to be a lot of that getting used to. And he's trying to force the ball in the windows because he's trying to get it up quick. So once he gets, like, eased into it, I think having a good running game, and this week trying to, like, evolve that against a team that will let you eat up yards on the ground, I think it could be a really good week for Theo in the offense to kind of have that wake-up game for him.
It's like that buddy in college where it's, like, at 4 in the afternoon, he's got, like, a triple rum and Coke, and you're like, dude, how about you just have a beer, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, pace yourself here, buddy. Iowa State at Ohio, 11 a.m. kickoff tomorrow. I think we're going to find some things out about Iowa State. Talked about it in the last segment with Rob Gray, the Gazette. Is Iowa State's run game, is it still a big area of concern? I think that's something to keep a close eye on tomorrow. What will Rocco Beck look like in his third start? Because we didn't see J.J. Cole in the Cy-Hawk game. It seems like this may well be Beck's team to quarterback. And also, I think the third thing I'm keeping an eye on, 2022 MAC Offensive Player of the Year quarterback Curtis Rourke, of course, going up against that vaunted Iowa State secondary.
Yeah, coming off the ACL injury he got last year, he's kind of been, like, eased back into the team, per se. Like, he didn't really play that much week one, didn't play one of the last two games for him, and then came back. But, yeah, he's starting to get back eased in the offense. If he's full go against Iowa State like they're expecting him to be, he could cause some problems. But like you said, that secondary, like TJ Tampa, Jeremiah Cooper, like, we know all the people they got in the secondary. So they could cause some serious issues for them. So, you're like, Work going up against those guys. And he's also mobile, so it'll be interesting to see how the defensive line handles in that game. But that offense, it's odd. Like, I was at the Iowa State game last week, and that however long of a drive that was, down by two scores in the fourth quarter, I think it was like a 7-8 minute drive. It was one of the more odd drives I've seen from a college football team that was losing like that. But I expect them to win. But like you said, you're going to find out a lot about this team. So it's a team they, you know, on paper they should beat, but it's on the road. You got a good quarterback opposite of you. So, yeah, find a lot about this team. Hopefully the offense can expand going into this week as well.
And quickly, before we get to our picks of the weekend, Logan Blackman of the Logan Blackman Show podcast, our guest on a Football Friday edition of Cole & Company. Iowa takes on Western Michigan, a 2:40 kick at Kinnick tomorrow, Logan. I think if I'm an Iowa fan, I want to see the run game get better. Therefore, I want to see what that could do for the play-action pass, see if Cade McNamara is looking better. He says he's feeling healthier. That's probably where I'm most focused in terms of Iowa-Western Michigan.
Yeah, I want to see Jazz get a couple more carries. He broke out that massive run against Iowa State last week, had a couple really nice blocks in the game as well. I think him and Caleb Johnson going back and forth would be really fun to see. But the passing offense, I just need to see some more stuff of it. And the thing with, like, some of the deep balls McNamara threw last week, obviously there was the non-called DPI that on the interception by Iowa State, and then you had the deep ball later. He doesn't have necessarily the greatest arm in the world, so he's either too late on some of those deep throws, mm-hmm. or he's too early trying to put too much on it. So I need to see that expansion of the passing offense. And, you know, the run game, I think, will come in this game. I think they will. I think it'll be a good game for them. But the passing up, I still got questions around there. But I don't know. I saw the spread. I don't really know if I agree with that spread. I haven't seen Iowa score 28 points this season, so I don't know if I'm ready to say, you know what, they're going to beat a team by 28. Yeah. But you never know. You never know. I guess crazier things have happened, but it'll be a fun one.
All right, quickly, about a minute here with our picks of the weekend. I like Kansas State -4, laying that number at Mizzou. I like Tennessee -5.5 at what I think has been a largely unimpressive Florida team. I think Tennessee can go to the swamp and cover a 5.5-point spread. And then I like Northern Illinois with the points at Nebraska. They're getting 13. I'd probably liked it better if I'd have bet it earlier in the week, if it was 14 and the hook. Maybe tease that up if you can on your book. But that's my three plays this weekend, Logan.
So my three, I'm going to go with Florida-Tennessee as well, but I am going to go with Florida strictly just for defense.
Ooh.
Tennessee's offense didn't really look great last week against Austin Peay, so maybe this is a game they open up a little bit, but I'm going to take Florida covering. I don't think they'll win. I'll take them covering. And then I got West Kentucky. They are a 30-point dog to Ohio State. They got a very good quarterback in Austin Reed. I think they can cover 30. I don't think they'll come close to winning, but I think they can lose by less than 30 in this. And the final one, Washington going to Michigan State, 16.5-point favorites. Michigan State got a new coach, not great defensively, and got Michael Penix with those three great receivers on their side.
Yeah,
I'm going to go with the Huskies covering that one.
I like that play. I got to run, Logan. Have a great weekend. Thanks, man.
Yeah, you too.
I'm Colleen Wolf with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. Thursday Night Football on Amazon Prime kicked off with the Eagles hosting the Vikings. Turnovers were the name of the game as the Vikings fumbled four times, including a Justin Jefferson fumble at the goal line that was ruled a touchback. Philadelphia scored 10 points off of takeaways, and quarterback Jalen Hurts finished with one touchdown through the air and two on the ground. With a 34-28 win, the Eagles improved to 2-0 as the Vikings fall to 0-2. Meanwhile, Jets quarterback Aaron Rodgers posted on social media that surgery went great to repair a torn Achilles he suffered Monday night. The 19-year veteran was traded by the Packers this offseason and suffered the season-ending injury in his first regular season start for New York. And the NFL announced an extended partnership with Tottenham Hotspur Stadium through the 2029-2030 season. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
So, this date was really fun.
Yeah, thanks for dinner.
For sure. For sure. Not really sure why I'm playing with my keys. I literally took an Uber here.
Oh, me too.
Well,
can I ride
grab
around?
A beer?
Start the night out right, because you can't drive drunk if you don't drive there. Decide to ride. This message is brought to you by Anheuser-Busch, Mothers Against Drunk Driving, and Uber. Copyright 2022, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. Eagles GM Howie Roseman gets a lot of credit for Philadelphia's loaded roster, and it's well-deserved. Roseman snatched up MVP candidate Jalen Hurts in the second round, got a steal when he traded for A.J. Brown, and has drafted multiple impact players throughout his time in the front office. But last night was a subtle reminder of just how good he is. After the loss of leading rusher Miles Sanders, many had speculated Philly would be in play for Bijan Robinson in the draft. But instead of dumping assets into a devalued position, Roseman shipped off a fourth-round pick in order to acquire running back DeAndre Swift. The Eagles went on to select arguably the best player in the draft in Jalen Carter. And last night, Swift rushed for 175 yards and a touchdown in a win over the Vikings. So while Jalen Hurts receives a lot of credit for Philly's success, the Eagles' most potent weapon maybe sitting in the front office. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. Football is back, and DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, has you covered. New customers can bet $5 on football and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Plus, all customers can take advantage of two new offers every game day this September. New customers can download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, use the code Patrick, bet just $5, and take home $200 instantly in bonus bets. That's code Patrick, only on DraftKings Sportsbook.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Gambler or visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. See dkng.co/football for eligibility terms and responsible gaming resources. Bonus bets expire 7 days after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply.
You are listening to the Power Hour of Sports Talk. Cole and Company with Cole Bear. Weekdays 5 to 6 right here on The Fan.
We have to be better offensively of getting the ball and moving the ball and moving the chains, or we got to make sure we're out there getting first downs, flipping the field, put our defense into a good spot. And last week, we didn't do those things consistently. We got to be able to rush the football. We're looking for a little bit more consistency in the offense and to see if we can't put a few more points on the board.
That's Cedar Falls High School football coach Brad Remmer talking about needing more production from the Tiger offense tonight. In that homecoming game against Iowa City Liberty, pregame coverage with Dave Finnegan begins around 7 over on Cruising KCFI. Kickoff at 7:30. Good luck to the Tigers tonight, all the metro and area teams in action. And that's a wrap for the week. Cubs baseball coming up at 8:05 in Arizona against the Diamondbacks. Iowa State football begins, pregame coverage begins at 9 tomorrow. Have a great weekend, everybody.
You've been listening to Cole & Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.